Good morning. It is Monday, May 13th, 2024. Sitting down with co-enforcement officer Jerry Biddle. And we're just going to kind of update some things, review things. We're going to talk about maybe some abandoned houses. We're going to talk about just a little bit of trash, but also we're talking about the signage and so forth as the Historic Commission kind of moves forward with their updates and so forth and enforcement of different things. And so let's kind of talk about, we see a lot of signs and stuff on the square, yard sale signs, all kinds of different things that it addressed. So what kind of where are we at on that, Jerry?
Well, since the Historical Commission has been reignited and put back together again, they've made new ordinances and stuff, and some of it deals with signs on the square and in historical districts. And because of that, if one sign is acceptable for a community event, then all signs have to be acceptable for community events. And because it would be a clutter on the square and everything, and there's so much room across the city to elsewhere to put these signs,
sure,
they've made a decision that no signs on the square. That way, nothing is distracted from the uptown businesses and the overall look of the square. So, no signs, no matter what kind of community event it is acceptable, because a church a free meal, mm-hmm, is a community event, or the Derby is a community event. But in some people's eyes, they're not considered the same thing. But to those groups, they are considered the same thing. So they made a decision to have no signs. That way there's no confusion. There's nobody, getting upset that one got to put it up there and the other didn't.
Right.
So they've made that decision. And
I think that, of course, personally, there are causes and events that are important,
and I agree with that.
Yes, but on the other hand, you have to have a consistent policy that
Correct.
That now I know there are a lot of things we've had over the years that have been up on that square for 20-25 years, and unfortunately this year we've had to make a decision to enforce the no signage. But when you look at the downtown and you look at the quadrants and the grassy area and so forth, I mean, it is very pretty and it's nice, and any kind of signage really kind of distracts from the aesthetics of the square itself. Now, I know Hollywood, of course, is the chairperson of the Historic Commission, and we've had some discussion about at some location having maybe one type of, billboard type thing where, you could put a sign up, everybody would be at that one area with a particular type of sign that's consistent for the look.
Consistent, not just,
right,
not just a ragtag bunch of signs.
Well, they'd have to meet some kind of criteria, the sign itself,
And they'd have to be permitted to get on that.
Sure.
Which permitting, if we've discussed it correctly, if I've understood it correctly, wouldn't be anything but just, hey, I need to put a sign on there. No fees, no nothing.
Right.
Just to just say, okay, that sign's good, put it
sure
up there. And coming off the square, going down the road and stuff, there are some good locations to put these signs, mm-hmm, besides putting them on the square. So if we can get a consistent, like a billboard type thing, not a billboard, because billboards are
real right, but some type of framed, because you see those in other cities. I know, of course, Franklin, Tennessee is kind of like the Mount Everest of Main Street, type of thing. They were very consistent. I know I was down there one time and just kind of looking around. And, when you go to different cities, you don't really see signage like that on their main square,
no,
or in their main downtown,
no,
area.
And it is very distracting from the aesthetics of the square,
sure,
and stuff. So when they made it across the board, I think that was, in my opinion, a good decision, because
right,
everybody thinks they have a good cause. And there are a lot of great causes,
yes,
out there.
Absolutely.
But it just made it consistent. And if we can do the board.
The
I can say billboard.
Yeah,
because
true. But it's some type of framed sign, that they know. Of course, the thing is, the signs that are put up on this framed area would have to, they'd all be looked the same. They'd be the same type.
Correct.
Of,
it's just not going to be like one of those,
sure,
billboards you walk into a restaurant and everybody's got their little cards up on,
sure,
the billboard.
Exactly.
Nothing like that. It's,
yeah,
going to be,
because we take a great pride in our downtown.
Yes.
And the historic district itself. And I think that, I know there's been a little bit of controversy with the Historic Commission, and it's, kind of getting back into business. But in the long run, if you look at any of your cities that people visit, destination cities and so forth, they all have some type of commission that regulates and enforces the downtown aesthetics.
And with anything we've done, anything anybody does that has been not enforced for years, there's growing pains with
sure.
this. There's people that have to learn, educated, and figure out that, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be and
right.
going to be. So there are going to be some growing pains with some of the businesses and stuff.
But you've had good luck with I think communication, educating, you know, the folks, you know, about what we do with our out. You know, we have outlets. We do our social media, and then we do, you know, the radio shows, and we do the columns and so forth. So it's basically kind of educating folks. And a lot of this stuff has been on the books for years.
Oh yes.
Some of the ordinances, you know, it's just haven't been updated and nor enforced. So, but I think it's important, you know, because I mean, there's a lot of leniency here. I mean, we've already had several situations where, hey, look, this is the way it was. We understand that, but now this is actually the way it should be.
Yes.
And I think, you know, if you explain that to people and, you know, communicate that, they understand that. And more importantly, like you said, you know, taking the approach of, okay, it applies to everyone. You know, you're not.
And we've had a couple businesses change hands on the square and getting them to understand. And, you know, one of the businesses called me, you know, made sure they were ahead of the game before
sure.
they started doing anything, which was great.
Yes.
We had one that, you know.
A little resistant.
What, not resistant, they just didn't know.
Sure.
I
can deal with
know.
That. Yeah. I think it's awesome. I mean, the thing is, the fact that they didn't know, that's not their fault.
Right.
You know, I feel like that, you know, that's kind of where I fail, is not to get the word out, you know, and to let people know. And I think that, you know, at some point we've talked about doing maybe a public meeting or having a meeting of the business and so forth downtown, just to kind of, you know.
If I was a business or if I was a homeowner and I was going to come into a city like this,
mm-hmm.
I'd definitely want to talk to planning and zoning or code enforcement or somebody
sure.
to understand what I can and can't do as far as even putting up a fence in your yard or
right.
where you can put a fence.
Sure.
Because fences have been a problem here in the past.
Right.
Anywhere from fencing in their meters where the meter.
Like the gas meter, water meter,
yeah.
not having access to those.
And having dogs in inside yeah. the fences where
yeah.
you really can't have access
sure,
to them,
exactly.
or even parking over a meter.
And they don't really understand that or know that, you know. So,
no.
But for the most part, I mean, once you've made the visit and explained to them, I mean, we've moved meters outside of fenced areas. You know, made it to where
I hated to distract from the historical district, but
yeah,
the meters
sure.
are a big thing because, you know, they're like. You know, we have some owners say, well, just let me know and I'll put my dogs up. Well, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
If there's an emergency.
Yes.
And there's a gas leak or something,
mm-hmm.
they have to have access to that 24 hours a day. Or there's, you know, so there
sure.
can't be anything tied up or they've got to have complete access to those meters.
And as a homeowner, I would want that. You know,
yes.
here in town, if something happens and I'm out of town or, you know, whatever, and something happens, you know, I want to be able to go in there and feel safe, be able to get to it. And I think that, you know, of course, now we're talking about citywide, you know, application of having access to different utility meters. But, I mean, I think it's important. And, you know, I think we've had several instances where we've had to, you know, move them or so forth. And it's worked out. And I think they understand that for the most part. Because I think
they do once they're explained that,
sure.
you know, it's just not a one-time, you know, once a month thing that, you know, they
right.
have to put up with. It's a 24-hour thing.
Yeah, I know. I think in one instance, for a little while, they were literally reading a meter through a hole in a fence.
Yes.
I was like, they must have, because I personally wouldn't be able to see that meter. So they were actually doing that, and that was because of dogs, basically.
Right.
And I think so we got that worked out with the homeowner, and I think that, you know, it's all just a matter of, you know, communicating with
yes.
homeowner and so forth about what. And, you know, once you explain, hey, you know, if you're out of town, there's a gas leak, I think, you know, we probably not might want to take a look at it, you know.
We
don't want a Rottweiler or, something impeding our access, so to speak.
And you don't want to build over your line either.
Yes.
We've had
that's an issue there, right?
Yes. We've had a couple instances where we've had to have people move their outbuildings. It's like they'll call me and
mm-hmm.
I'll go and it's like, can I move it over this close to the road? Well, there's a gas line right there.
Right.
You can't move it over top
sure.
of it. So something happens.
Well, I think a lot of times, and we get, you know, a request, like if somebody's going to be doing something, even digging or whatever, you know, if they'll just call the city, we'll come and locate the lines for them. I mean, that's not a big deal, you know. They flag them, you know, different colors for different utilities. Like Blue's water is it yellow for gas? Anyway, but I'm just saying that. Well, I mean, I think that's the thing. Is the main thing is just we'll just you know because I don't you know I know now, but I don't think I knew when I first moved to my house whether we had utility lines crossing the yard or not.
I've had them come out to my house numerous times. Every time I do a project,
yes,
I have to have them relocate my lines.
I'd rather be safe than sorry.
But I have had questions in the past and recently about why are there flags up?
Yes.
And I've had to explain that's, you know, marking. So if you ever do anything like that, you need to have your stuff marked so you don't hit a line.
I had a text this past week. I was out of town for a day or two and wanted to know why there were blue flags in the yard over off of Water Street. And it wasn't the city, but it was like maybe North Central somebody because they're always, you know, locating lines. North Central for, fiber optics, those kind of things. So a lot of different, you know, Tri-County. There's a lot of other, you know, a lot of things that are being located.
I do believe it's Tri-County that when you call 811, they aren't part of the 811 system.
They are not. For some reason, and I don't know why, I've never really got an explanation to why they do not participate in an 811, you know, because, that's a big deal. You know, you call them in and report it. They send us a report. We go do the address. And I don't know, you know, of course, Tri-County Corporate is located in Tennessee. I don't know if they don't want to spend the money. But to me, it's a safety issue. I don't, you know, so, but I don't have an explanation.
So those listeners out there, when you call 811, make sure you also call Tri-County.
Right. Exactly, because it doesn't apply to Tri-County.
Yes.
And a lot of people who move in here are used to doing 811. I mean, that's a pretty normal
and usually
procedure.
In normal places and normal situations,
right.
It's an all-in-one call.
So I'm not sure, you know, why that's not happening, but, you know, might be something we want to address, you know, with them in itself just because of the safety issue.
Yes.
Kind of getting back to the historic district just for a minute, I mean, as far as we're still working through, you know, some issues and so forth as far as, you know, consistency and all those kind of things.
But they're still finalizing the ordinance.
Right.
And they're finalizing getting certified for the city.
Sure.
Once they get all the requirements done, they'll be totally, our historical commission will be, is it state or federal certified?
It's state certified.
State certified.
Yeah. Through the Kentucky Preservation. So I think that, you know, we're getting there. You know,
they still have the authority as a commission. It's just that they can't apply for all the grants that you know, our historical commission can get.
And they've been involved. I think they've been involved in the Allen County Spring. I know there's quite a bit of work down there. I think that they applied for a grant through the Laura Gold Turner Charitable Foundation, got maybe, I think, $4,000. So they've been working on that down there, and I think it's going to be a nice project. There were some drainage issues and so forth, and it, you know, kept kind of water was there building up, and it ended up that they had to replace the drain lines, which was a good thing.
If I remember right, they got the grant, and I think some of the labor was donated.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot out of it.
Well, we went in, the city went in and did the excavation part of that part of it. Now, I know the Scottsville Garden Club, I mean, I know they've been involved in not that particular part, but they are involved in kind of some of the landscaping type things. But this is kind of an infrastructural thing to get it to where it's draining properly.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, there's still quite a bit of work to do. I know Mr. Prophet was down there doing some work on that. Yeah, on the wall. So, I mean, it's really – and I think that – well, they put a new roof on the spring house.
Yeah, I think that was that time was donated.
And I think that, you know – so there's a lot going on down there. And it you know, it really hadn't had anything done to it in years. And it's a – well, it's the focal point of Allen County, Scottsville. Why, you know, and why they picked this.
And there's still a lot of people who don't know where it's at.
Sure, exactly. You know, we actually had a discussion at one point about, and it may even still happen, is closing that street in front of the spring.
First Street.
And letting it be, you know, pedestrian only. That way people could, you know, go down and enjoy the, you know, there's a picnic table down there and maybe add another one or two. But you make it a pedestrian area where you can go and, you know, and check it out. And once we get, you know, the repairs done and those kind of things, it might be something to really look at. Because it's not really, that street's really not used that much.
Not a whole lot coming up to the, I mean, there's other routes to get up to the square, get back and forth and stuff. and there's a little spot across the road that, you know, like you said, for seating and stuff.
Right.
If we can acquire that property.
Yeah, I've talked to the family who owns that. They're open to that possibility. I know a couple, 3 years ago, I talked to Larry Stovall. He owns the hillside, and we even talked about maybe a little amphitheater area there. He might be willing to do something like that. So once we get the spring back in, you know, to condition where it's, you know, people can go and visit and it's working properly and not flooding, those kind of things, those are things that maybe we can look at there, because it is a, you know, it's a historical part of our county and our city. So,
yeah.
So what are some of the other items? One of the things I want to kind of, we're skipping around here, but business license.
Yes.
I think that, you know, we've had folks that have done business in the city and, you know, whether food trucks or temporary, whatever, kind of talk about that a little bit.
Thing about the business license, if you work in Allen County, you have a business in Allen County, or if you come to Allen County with a food truck or anything like that, you still need a city business license. Just because you have a state, you have food inspection, mm-hmm. and all that, you still have to get a city business license.
If they're operating in the city limits.
If they're operating inside the city limits.
Okay.
So all the food trucks and everything, and we ran across this Friday where somebody hadn't had one since 2022.
Right.
Is
it $30 a year?
It's $30 a year for a license.
Does the county, don't you have to have one for the county, but it didn't cost anything, or does it?
How's if you're out work? In the county,
right?
They don't cover the city.
Mm-hmm.
We got the city.
All right.
In the county, if you have a business, yes, you have to get a county license, and
okay.
I'm not sure how much that
okay.
is at all.
All right.
So
there is a business license for the county if you're operating in the county and not the city. I would check with the judge's office on
yes.
that. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially, like, we're coming up on the time of year where we got a lot of mowing services in town.
Mm-hmm.
If you own a business and you've got a mowing service from out of town, you need to let them know they still need a license for the city. We've mm-hmm. had this issue a few times here recently,
uh-huh.
where some of these bigger chain businesses have been hiring from out of town, and they've still got to get the license for inside
right.
the city.
So I think that, and that might just be a misconception or whatever, they're not sure, but if you're doing any type of service, like if you're cutting trees, if you're anything that's done business in the city has yeah. to have a license for that.
And now that you've mentioned trees,
mm-hmm. yes.
if you have a tree service,
yes.
cut your tree down in your yard
uh-huh.
or your property, it is the tree service or you is responsible for hauling that tree off.
Right.
If you do it yourself, you trim your trees or have to cut a couple
sure.
limbs from down trees, city will pick it up.
Right.
But if you have a service come in, any hired service,
mm-hmm.
they have to do the work, or you have to do the work.
Yeah, you know, and we've had, I know, at least one instance where an elderly lady was actually charged for that service, you know, to removal, and then they left it for the city to pick up. But I think you took care of that. That's been a while, but yeah.
That's a while ago.
Right. But I'm just saying, in general, you know, you have to be careful. I mean, you know, I hate to say unscrupulous, but there are some people out there that will, you know, take advantage of people that, you know, can't defend themselves or so forth. So I think it's important to understand that if you hire a service, that's part of it is the disposal and
yes.
hauling away.
Yes. I want to touch on real quick subjects, which I always touch on.
Yeah, that's fine. Sure.
Yards.
Yes.
You know, I know we had a lot of rain lately. I kind of, you know, this past weekend
right.
and stuff, you know. So this week it's going to be, you know, back at it, you know, getting
sure.
our yards down and stuff.
It's supposed to rain a couple days this week.
Yes.
So it's going to
be rough.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Brittany. She was telling us a while ago that her husband, he has a service, and he 40 yards behind.
Yes.
You know, so, and that's hard to pick up.
So it's understandable that there are
absolutely.
Some yards. Dogs, make sure your dogs are on leashes in your yard. Don't let them out of your yard. We've had lots of issues with dogs.
Let's go back to the yards a minute.
Okay. Kind of,
is it 10 inches or 12 inches?
It's on our books, it's 12 inches.
12 inches.
So.
And that 12 inches looks pretty bad sometimes,
yes.
doesn't it?
You're not going to see me out there with a ruler.
Right. But you can tell pretty
yes.
much. Yes.
If it's up there, you know it.
Sure.
So.
Let's talk about dogs a little bit. I mean, we've had several calls about dogs.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, the county does have a dog warden. Of course, the county is a fairly large area to cover. Now, you know, that's a kind of an administrative type thing between the city and the county, what we do. But, you know, what are some of the issues that you come across that people can prevent on their own, i.e., you know, leash laws? I mean, that's pretty that's self-explanatory.
That's cut and dry. Leash law. Your dog needs to be on a leash, or it needs to be confined to your yard, whether it be a fence. And if you have an electronic fence, make sure you change the batteries in your dog. We've had a lot of dogs running loose. You know, I've got but the batteries are dead, sure. So it doesn't do any good.
But they're trying. I mean, they're just, yes. Don't change the batteries. So
now if it's a dog bite, you need to do a police report on a dog bite. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, certain things that have to happen. The dog either has to be quarantined. You have to show proof of rabies. And
show proof of the vaccination for rabies, yes. Or whatever. So just asking out a personal thing. Okay, say you get dog bit and the dog does not have a rabies vaccination. What is the quarantine time on that?
10 days.
10 days.
Now, it depends on the situation. Sometimes they can quarantine the dog at home.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it has to go to the vet or to the animal shelter to be uh-huh. quarantined, depending on if they can maintain quarantine with that animal.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, and then usually the health department gets involved with the checking and making sure the rabies are, you know,
uh-huh.
if it has rabies or not.
Right.
And if it does, then, of course, you have to. Yeah,
that's a little bit different story.
Yes. And also inside the city, it is a requirement to have tags on your dogs. You have to go get them registered.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the animal shelter. They have the registration out there. Go get your animal tags. So every dog is supposed to have a collar with a tag on it. I know you just did that a while back, didn't you?
I have not done one of them. We got two. You know, I didn't know that, though.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me write that ticket right now.
Yeah. Okay. You know, honestly, so explain that process, because that is interesting. I mean, it's a good thing. I just, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, and that's something maybe we need to publicize.
It helps.
Does it cost anything?
I believe there's a small fee.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what the fee is. You'll have to call the animal shelter for that. But it helps identify. If a dog does get out and get loose,
sure.
And we happen to get the dog, we can identify where it goes.
And get it back home, if nothing else. I mean, dogs get away. They get away. That's just part of it.
But if it's consistent, that's a problem.
Yeah, and don't want it getting run over or something, you know, so forth.
So if you have a dog in the city, it should have a collar on it,
right,
with a tag on it, and you also need to have the rabies vaccine.
Okay.
I mean,
we do have those requirements. Right, okay. But the restoration thing, I don't think anybody really knew about that.
No, it's, and then.
But that's an ordinance, right? I mean,
yes,
that's on the books,
yes.
Okay.
And certain dogs, certain classes of dogs have to have liability insurance on them.
Such as?
Pit bulls, Rottweilers, and anything in those classes of dogs.
Is Great Dane considered that or not?
I don't believe a Great Dane is on that list.
They seem pretty docile, actually. I mean, I don't know what that means, but as far as, you know, the type of dog. But I think, you know, they're obvious are the pit bulls and the Rottweilers.
Any dog can be mean, depending
on. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I've been bitten by my own dog.
Yeah.
You know, and he's supposed to be a big, lovable.
I had to hold my tongue. That was at least you're not Secret Service.
So, you know, so it's like, you know, you never know, you know. But I think I like the idea of the dog's been identified, if for no other reason, to make sure they get back to the rightful owner.
Yes.
Or, you know, dogs, we have a problem in some areas where dogs are being stolen. I mean, you see that occasionally.
Yes.
Stolen, you know, or they see a dog and they take it. And
we've had one stolen.
Yeah, really?
It got out. And, and you know.
I think one of our dogs may be chipped. You know, sometimes you get them chipped.
We've got ours chipped.
Yeah, and I think that is a big deal.
Yes.
But
you got to remember, when you chip them, you got to register the chip. If you don't register the chip after you get it, it's not doing you any good.
Well, that's true. You're right. It wouldn't be in the database.
No.
That's true. Good point. So what are some of the other issues with dogs that you've seen? Is it just basically just owner irresponsibility of not keeping them up?
That's the biggest thing. I mean, that and, I mean, there is a pooper scooper law.
Yes.
You know, and that's statewide.
Sure.
I mean, if you take your dog for a walk, make sure you clean up behind it. You know, don't let it go in somebody's yard and, you know, do their business and stuff. You know, be responsible.
It's very disrespectful.
Yes.
For one thing.
What other issues we have with dogs? We've gotten really good with some of the major issues. Don't tie your dog up in front of your front door.
Yeah. What is it? And also, because of what? Law enforcement access or first
or
responders? Yes.
If you have somebody in your house that gets hurt and you got a dog tied up at your front door that they can't get access,
yes,
minutes can be a life-saving event.
Absolutely.
So,
and that's kind of common sense. Because, yeah, you know.
You got mailmen, you got, you know, sure, police, you got emergency. I mean, it's just.
Well, know. now, what is the, about you, if you have a dog tied up, it has to be 10 feet away from a sidewalk or or whatever. You should be able to have access to your sidewalk without.
I mean, there's another thing about responsibility. If you have a pit bull that's on a thin chain or a thin wire, uh-huh, tied up 10 feet from a sidewalk, mm-hmm, and it runs at everybody that walks by, yeah, you know those people are going to be concerned.
Sure, absolutely.
You might, as an owner, go, he's not going to get off. But that's not telling that person walking down that sidewalk.
Sure.
So it's just a little bit of responsibility and thinking about others. Try not to tie it up, you know, near a sidewalk.
I think some of it's common sense, Jerry. Yes. Don't you think? I mean, and you know, because if you're on the other
courtesy
end of that.
It's courtesy as well.
It is. I agree with you.
There's common sense, but some people just, it's like, it's my yard. And I understand that's your yard.
It is.
And you're doing everything legal.
Right.
It's just courtesy.
Well, it's a public sidewalk.
Yeah, for those people that want to use the sidewalk, sure, not to be in fear.
Right. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, you've got young kids that want to ride their bicycles and so forth on those sidewalks. And so, I mean, that's, you know, so it's really a safety. Because if the homeowner was on the other end of that, I think they would see it more clearly, you know. Or and sometimes it's just thinking it through, right? I mean, that's what it boils down to.
And sometimes it's the only place they can tie it up.
True.
I mean, some houses don't have a big backyard to put their dog in.
Right.
Or it butts up against somebody else's backyard.
Sure.
So
right.
There's issues.
So, bottom line out of this is that if you have a dog in the city, you need to get it registered at the shelter, and they have the paperwork.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about trash a little bit. Let's talk about, I think that we've come a long way, haven't we?
Yes. I mean, we've had, you know, like anything, growing pains.
Sure.
But the trash cans, the excess trash along the roads, I think everybody's getting online with our two times a year, and
mm-hmm,
it's rolling pretty smooth. You know, there's mm-hmm a little things we have to work on,
right,
but it's rolling pretty smooth. If you have a trash can and you own your own trash can and it's broke and you've had to tape it up and the lifting handle on it's not working, please call the city. And either you can get one rented from the city for $3 a month.
Yeah, it's a Herbie Kirby, 95 gallon?
I think it's 96 gallon.
96 gallon.
And it's $3 a month. If something happens, city replaces it.
Sure.
I mean, it's delivered to you, so it's not like it's, you know, you have to come and pick it up and
right,
everything. They'll bring it out to you, drop it off. They are serial numbered,
mm-hmm,
so we know which ones you have.
Right.
But
or you can buy one.
Or you can buy one.
You can still buy one for $100.
Is it?
I think it's $100.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's
inflation.
Still $100.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, the thing is that. It's about the safety of the workers.
Well, it's safety, and I mean, if they're trying to lift a trash can that's busted on the bottom,
right,
and every time they lift it up, trash is flowing all over the road.
Sure.
That, I mean, just last week we had one that was taped up,
right,
and then we had some cracked ones, and they're very understandable. Once you talk to them about the situation,
right,
they're like, "Oh, I didn't really know,"
mm-hmm,
and you know.
Well, I encourage you to come and rent one for $3 a month. You can't beat that.
No.
You know, and it's got the city logo. That's how you differentiate between the ones you purchase
and
when you're in.
And if you go up and down the roads, it's just more aesthetic when you're
well,
driving.
Well, and it's an efficiency thing, too. Time, you know, when they can mechanically load those, unload, you know, whatever, or empty them, it's much quicker. But it's safer. I mean, like you said, you'd be surprised what people put in the bottom of their trash cans, you know, bricks, different things.
No construction material in your
right
trash can. It's supposed to be household material.
Right.
We've had people load bricks in the bottom of them, load shingles in the bottom
sure
of them, and that's really hard on the can. It busts the handles when
right
they're trying to lift them up. Trash is supposed to be bagged and tied off inside the
right.
So, you know, it's windy out there, and you know, even if your trash can gets knocked over during the wind before they get
sure
to it, you don't want trash all over your yard.
Exactly. So. What about paint?
No paint. I mean, empty. If anything, take your, you know, if you got a little paint in the bottom of your can,
mm-hmm,
take a piece of cardboard, pour it on a cardboard, let it dry,
mm-hmm,
then you can throw it in the trash and make sure the can is empty and open so there's nothing in there.
Right.
Leave the top off the can
Sure.
So they can tell, you know, and they just all dried out.
I got on a big paint project here a few years ago. We had a bunch of paint in the basement. It was still, you know, liquid form and so forth. So what I did is I took kitty litter. I went and bought kitty litter and, you know, opened the cans up, mixed the kitty litter in. You could do sawdust or whatever, you know, in kitty litter. And I think I let it sit out maybe at least a week, you know, in the sun.
Yeah.
And it dried it all up, you know. And because, I mean, not – it hadn't been that long ago. I don't know who had the paint in the can, but it was going down North Court.
It was all over the road.
Yeah, yes. And that was, you know, and that, you know, I think that, you know, that's something else we need to probably get the word out. But I think, you know, for the most part, you know, paint is one of those things that, you know, people don't know what to do with. You know, we don't have a recyclable or a drop-off point for those type of chemicals.
I mean, it's easy. Even if you don't have cardboard, if you have newspaper or something, just pour it on there. It takes, 20 minutes to dry?
Right.
You're done.
Right.
And you throw everything away from there.
Yeah. So what else as far as of course, you kind of referenced a little bit. Now, we're not doing regular bulk and junk pickup. We're doing two cleanup weeks a year.
And it, yes.
And I think that, you know, one is in March, and we try to coordinate that with the half-price dumping fees that the county offers in the spring. And then we have a cleanup week during the fall. Now, we had our first one this past fall, and I think it was successful. I think in the spring, you know, a lot of people called in. We had a lot of participation, you know, so the word was getting out there. And I think that people, you know, have been used to that type of free service for a long time. And, you know, you started doing the research, and really no one else offered that kind of service on a regular basis.
No,
free.
I mean, and if you drove around town, everybody had trash out, you know, all the time.
Right.
This way we've got it narrowed down to a week.
Sure.
And when those weeks come up, when we announce the weeks, mm-hmm. please call in advance.
Right.
You know, if you're going to know you're going to have something out, call and get on the list in advance, like a week out.
Right.
That way the city can better coordinate how they're picking up this instead of bouncing around back and forth across town.
Exactly.
They can, you know, go street by street and get everything that they know is. So if you know it, please try to get on that list at least a week prior to that.
I think, I had a couple of cases. I think people were like, oh, hey, it's junk week. You know, they saw their neighbor putting their stuff out, so they called in, you know, and so forth. I mean, we may not, it goes in probably to the next week to get it actually picked up because, you know, a lot of people are participating in it. So, and then weather plays a part in that. And I know one day we had some personnel, they had to be, I don't know, off, maybe sick and so forth. So there's issues there.
Well, you've got water leaks or gas leaks. I mean,
absolutely.
It strains the personnel.
But once they get it out and get it on the list, we know it's there.
Yes.
And I think that's important. But I think it's been very successful. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, and I think people have been, and I really appreciate people participating in it and being a part of it because you're right. There's junk all the time or used to be all the time, and it's just, you know, never was. You know.
Oh, no tires.
Yeah, no tires. And what else? No paint, I guess. No tires. And there's a couple of
other hazardous materials.
Exactly.
Nothing. I prefer no mirrors and windows and stuff because if they have to use a claw or something, that bus, it's going to be all over somebody's yard.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a kind of a gray area, tough issue. You know, if you can do that. Another thing, mattresses. You know, we really trying to encourage or really kind of enforce the fact that, you know, that those mattresses need to be wrapped.
Yes, and that's for the workers' safety.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because bed bug city, I mean, there's no telling what, you know. And
just because you don't have bed bugs and you put a mattress out
right.
doesn't mean they're going to know that.
Sure,
so
exactly. Good point.
But if you can, like on the mirrors, I'm getting back to the mirrors and stuff like that, take a cardboard box.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, you know, try to tap it, bust it out, and get it in a cardboard box so it doesn't get busted and spread all over your yard. Because you don't want it all over your yard just as much as we don't want it all over
your yard. And, you know, you put a lawnmower on that glass, it's going to start, you know.
Yes.
So it's a safety thing for the homeowner, too, and,
yes.
you know, the person. But I think that I'm really happy with, you know, how that's gone. I know we've talked about actually doing some type of zone pickup like we do the leaves. I don't know if we're going to do that or not. But
if we can get people ahead of time to call in, we can try to start
zoning
it out. But the way it's been going, it's hard to get in zones because, you know, as you said, people are like, ooh, my neighbor's got it out. Let me put it out.
And the main thing is, you know, we just want you to get on the list, you know, within that time frame. You know, sometimes if people are out of town, you know, we don't realize that, but I think that for the most part, you know, people have been very good about it, and I think that it's worked well. I like that we're more consistent with other communities and how they do that. And, you know, the thing is, it came down to the expense. Very expensive. I mean, it's $100 a ton now at the transfer station, and probably may even go up more. I don't know. It's just the cost.
Almost double in just the past few years.
Yeah, when we took office, it was $50. But, I mean, the cost has just gone up tremendously. I know I talked to Judge Harper about that, you know, and there's rules and regulations for transfer stations and so forth. And those, anytime the state has a new implementation of a rule or something, you know, might as well just get your checkbook out because that's what's going to happen. So,
yes.
You know, but I'll tell you what, it is an asset to have a transfer station in our county, though. And I know that it's kind of frustrating for the judge and the fiscal court because of the cost and so forth, but it is kind of an asset. I know it's not a moneymaker by no means, but I think that, you know, they've tried to get a little bit closer to some type of break-even point. But, you know, when you go around a lot of communities, they don't have that. They have to haul it, you know, and it's inconvenient.
We have some a list of people that'll haul it for you during the year. So if you have a question and you need it hauled,
call privately.
Call 270-237-4402.
Yeah.
And they've got a list up there that they can give you, and anybody can get on that list. It's not in order.
Yeah.
It's not prioritized. It's not, you know, we can't do that.
Those vendors that do that service.
So you can just call one of them.
Sure.
Whoever you want to call on it. They're not in any particular order. And they'll get charged a small fee and come pick it up. And some of the items that you have, like appliances, they might just come and get them free because they make money on them.
I'm going to tell you, I've been a few things set out. I've set out in the past. It's like, you know,
it disappears.
At night. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, because, you know, a lot of people have uses for different things. You know, appliances are a big thing. You know, people.
My son-in-law, we live in the county, and my son-in-law, they live next door to us. Yeah. And every once in a while, he'll throw the weirdest things to the road, and it's gone the next day. And
exactly.
I was like, I wouldn't have touched that.
But yeah, I know. It's funny how people come by. And you see them, you know, they come through the neighborhood looking all the time. It's funny. And during cleanup week, that is a biggie. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's their Shangri-La. You know,
they call it in Germany. They call it Junken.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People just put their stuff out to the road.
Yeah.
And it's like going yard sailing.
Yeah.
They call it Junken, and you just go along and you see something, you pick it
That's
up.
That's funny.
I've had a couch tied down with a dog chain on the top of a roof of a friend's car going down the road.
That is so funny.
Oh, it was.
That's awesome. But it's been a good service, and we're really happy with how it's going. And, you know, of course, you're responsible for that. You started it, you know, you implemented it, and you've enforced it in different things. And I think that it's important. I mean, you wear a lot of different hats. I mean, you know, more so since, you know, I've been here, a lot of different things. And, you know, it's nice to have someone that that goes out and meets the public and so forth. And you're very accessible, you know. One plug I wanted to have for about, you was talking about the phone number. To call in for that, you know, if you download the free City of Scottsville Advisory app, it's got all the contact information for everybody.
I wish more people would put that on their phones.
I know, and the thing is, it's got the phone numbers, it's got the email addresses, and you can go directly to the department rather than having to go through two or three people to get to somebody.
And I've had a lot of people go through, like Evelina, for a complaint.
Sure.
And I have a complaint on the website, complaint form. That
right.
You can just email
sure.
me directly.
Yeah. Maybe I need to do a little bit better job about publicizing those kind
of,
you know, resources.
CityofScottsville.org.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's got all the tabs and different things, you know, links and so forth. So maybe publicize that a little more.
Even all the ordinances.
Sure.
All city ordinances are on that CityofScottsville.org.
Yeah, that's a very nice resource.
Under the government tab, go down, hit ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what you're looking for, go in the search bar and just type in dogs.
Sure.
And it'll pull up all the ordinances on dogs or trash or whatever your concern is.
That's a great resource, the website and so forth. You know, it's got basically everything on there that you need to know or who to contact. You know, if nothing else, it'll get you started.
And since you were talking about different hats, I'm going to try to plug this.
Okay, sure.
I'm a big member of the VFW.
Absolutely.
And we have been trying to get a Veterans Wall, Veterans Memorial, someplace inside the city.
Uh-huh.
We've been, you know, we've had some people offer some spots, and
uh-huh.
then, you know, it's like, oh, we can't do that right now. But before I retire, I would like to get a Veterans Memorial someplace inside the city. So if you're listening and you've got a piece of property or you have an idea, we can get a grant from the National VFW, mm-hmm. but we've got to show that we've, you know, we've got people to do it. We've put our effort into it. We've got some money invested, whether it's free labor or the land or something. But, to really support the veterans in our community, a memorial or whatever.
Now, are you talking about, like, where they have each brick maybe with a name of a veteran?
It's definitely on the table. We'd love to have mm-hmm. that for everybody in Allen County that's been a veteran.
Right. Of course, when you go to the Vietnam Memorial, although they have they etch the names into a one particular type of stone. But, you know, I know back home, they've got a veteran's memorial, and what they do is they have individual bricks, and they, yes. you know,
put and them then, in. You know, and that's definitely one of the things that we've discussed, and I mean that's easy to do.
How much land would you need? I mean, are you talking about?
Well, we've got to have enough land to put the little memorial where you can just kind of walk around and sure. sit. You know, maybe on, you know, a couple benches and stuff, mm-hmm. a flag, you know, the names on a little wall.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't going to take up much more than basically the size of a big. Right. Conference room.
And people where I'm at back home, they pull up in front of it. You know,
that's another thing. You got to have a little bit of place sure. to park.
Yeah.
And if you want to get out and go read the names and stuff, so it doesn't overwhelm the streets and stuff. So you got to have a little bit of pull off area.
You'll need access for, disability access, those yes. kind of things, folks to be able to get to the more and be able to go up close to it at night, during the day or whatever.
Most of the ones we've seen and stuff, I mean, they're not huge.
Right.
But they make a statement.
Oh yes. It's emotional.
Yes.
I mean, because when you drive into Beattyville, where I'm from, it's right there at the railroad tracks, yeah. you know. And even Lauren, who was in Pikeville for a meeting, she had come back through Beattyville, and when she crossed the railroad tracks, she noticed the VFW War Memorial. It's pretty cool. That's where they have the Memorial Day services. They actually, on top of the hill, they have a flag, you know,
yes.
and all that kind of thing. That's where they have all their veteran services, and it's very, it's a very good location. It's not a very big area, though.
They don't have to be huge.
Right.
But it has to have access.
Well, if anybody's listening, and, you know, I don't know what we can do, maybe we could have a campaign, you know, talk to some people about doing that, getting started. Because, I mean, that's a pretty easy thing to get behind.
I would think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would think so.
Yeah.
And
you've been wanting to get a bigger flag anyway. So
I've been wanting a huge flag, especially at 231, 31E. Yes. Oh, yeah. I know. Boy, that's a rub.
But got a small flag out there for our city. Yeah. So.
Of course, you know, I've sent you down Cumberland Parkway. Then you went down yes. to the Greensburg exit, whatever. I mean, that flag might be a hair big, but boy, it's nice. Yes. Every time I go by there, I send you a picture or I text you, "Hey, I passed your flag." You know?
Yes.
But and it's a tribute. It's a memorial. You know, it's something yes. that's important, I think. And I think that, you know, if we do get the word out more, I think people will get behind that.
Even if you're a contracting company that you sure. want to volunteer leveling land or
exactly.
or doing something like that, if we can get enough on our books as participation. Right. I know the DAR or the, it's either historical or DAR has already said they're going to donate money.
Okay, good.
So it's always a start. And as yeah. I say, if we can show to the national that we've got a start, we've yeah. got this underway, we've got so much committed.
A little skin in the game.
So much committed.
Sure.
Then we can get a grant up to $40,000.
That would be a very so, nice start.
Yes,
I think maybe the donation, of the land and so forth, would be would not be a big stretch.
I've got a few people looking.
Sure.
And we thought we had a spot, but you know, it kind right. of fell through. You know, yeah.
Well, we'll keep trying. Yes. I think it's a very worthy cause. It's something, and you're right. You want it prominently displayed. You want it, you know, to be somewhere where people are passing through and so forth.
Yes.
To see it and to stop. You know, it's in a lot of the one at home. It's a destination. I mean, you know, they come to this.
We don't want to put it at the VFW because we want it to be a public thing.
Sure.
Not just a VFW thing. So it's right. for all veterans.
Absolutely.
Not just VFW members.
Sure, absolutely.
So we want it someplace in the public.
For and a lot of families, you know, who've moved away don't even have, you know, that's still a connection to the community and so yes. forth. I think it's important. So, well, I think that's something, you know, I would love to be a part of, you know, to get that started or moved along. Anything else, hot button items that you can think of that?
You caught me Monday morning.
I know. Well, actually, what I told you on Friday or Thursday or Friday is, hey, let's do a podcast Monday morning, you know. But, I mean, and if nothing else, hopefully the conversation will generate some questions and, you know, comments and different
things. I'll put my number out there.
Sure.
My number is 270-606-0394.
That's on the app.
And it's on the app as well. So if you forget that, or you don't remember it, or you didn't have time to write it down, and you can't rewind, then no.
Or just call the mayor's office. You know, they'll give it to you. Lauren gave it to you, whatever. So, okay. Well, any closing remarks? I mean, I think that we've covered some.
Our city has come a long way.
It has. I think we're on the right track. Yeah, I think.
And houses and stuff and vacant properties. We're still in the process.
Yeah, that's something we haven't really touched on today. But you know, we have taken down some houses, abandoned properties, and so forth. And you know.
And if you see some that are halfway down right now, especially over on Moncrief, we're still working out the problems with deeds over there. So please don't think we forgot about that area. We've had a deed problem between landowners. It was a mistake in the deed. It wasn't their fault.
Right.
So they're trying to get that worked out through the court system because they don't want to clean up somebody else's property when it belongs to somebody else. So.
Well, and that's across Malco in particular there. Yes. You've been working on that project
And both landowners, whoever gets whichever property, are
agreeable,
cleaning the properties up.
Absolutely.
So you just have to be a little, you know, patient, and we'll get it done.
And we are, you know, there are several places on our radar that we would like to take down. You know, and a part of it is they've basically been abandoned by folks that either have died, moved away. So it's a process of hunting those down and trying to get the right authority to actually, you know, demolition those houses.
I've hunted them down to South Carolina, Alaska.
Virginia, West Virginia somewhere.
Yes, and I've pulled obituaries from Indiana to try to locate the family members.
Right.
Ended up that every one of those family members in the obituary were all passed away.
Right.
So it's a process, but.
But hopefully we can get there. I mean, we've done some, you know, Old Glasgow Road down there, those houses, you know, and I think those are great examples and different other places up on the Hospital Hill.
East Maple,
yes. And so I think that, and there's a lot more to do, you know, but we are moving forward, you know, going in the right direction. And and if you have any comments or suggestions, or, you know, we would love to hear from you.
The one down there by Liam's, he's done an awesome job on rehabbing that
next to the golf course.
Yes.
I want to kudos to Tim Hoag.
Yes.
He has done a fantastic job.
That's above and beyond. That's a beautiful, beautiful building.
It is very nice. I mean, it looks great at night, too.
Yes.
Matter of fact, when I come through there, I texted him and told him, I said, it looks great at night. And it's really made a difference in that part of the, you know, there, because it was a little bit run down and so forth. But he's done a great job.
Now, we do have a house across the road that has, they're naturalists, so bear with me on there. They kind of mow
strips
in the yard.
Yeah.
But it's all for a purpose.
Sure.
Well,
being back in my USDA farming days, that'd be like CRP. You know, the maintenance every 3 years, different. They strip, mow, and so forth. So, but anyway, I've had a few questions about that. But I mean, there is a purpose there. It's not been ignored or anything.
No,
you know,
no.
You've been in communication with the owners.
Yes, I have. Thing.
That's interesting. So, you know, different things are kind of cool, and you know, in the city, and people see things, and you know, as long as we can explain.
Sometimes people just need to hear what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Know why something's going on.
Exactly. So, okay. Well, I appreciate you sitting down with me. And
That doesn't mean everybody become a naturalist in town.
Oh yeah. There you go.
There's a whole process to that.
Exactly. So, okay. Well, listen, I appreciate it, and take care, and have a good rest of the week. Thanks.
Thank you.